97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
I mentioned we're going to have more on the Lindsey Clancy murder trial coming up here with Kat Rosenfeld from the Free Press. That's at 3:30. Dave Murray with the weekend forecast and an update on the BMW Championship coming up at 4:04. We got Sue's News. Oh, our friend Alex Rich is going to swing by here this afternoon as well. And he is his wife is ready to pop, Sue, as they say.
Ah.
And he's very, very pregnant. The due date is technically September 12th. And they didn't want to say September 11th because that still has a stigma. But he's getting very close to having... I don't know that he recognizes how dramatically life will change here in the next 2 weeks. But
that's exciting.
When you're a young man like Alex, you got to be up for the challenge, right?
I think he is.
Oh, I think he is, too. 97.1 Talk political insider Scott Jennings back with us this afternoon. Of course, you hear his show 8 p.m. here on the station. Jennings, welcome back. How are you?
I'm great in your nation's capital, but in transit to New York City. We'll be on CNN tonight at 10 Eastern, 9 Central on the big debating show with Abby. We'll see what the night's news has in store for us.
Okay, let me start with this John Ossoff story because this is kind of nuts. Let me play the audio in question here where he takes a shot at just someone who is close to the president, works in the administration, and really, this is over the top and outrageous.
See, he doesn't want to do the job. He wants to build his ballroom and travel with Natalie on their apparently defenseless flying palace gifted by the Emir of Qatar.
All right, so what do you think of that? That's way out of bounds, isn't it?
Of course it is. It's a Democrat U.S. senator who wants to be president and believes that the way to do that is to punch down on previously unknown White House aide. She's not a public figure. Nobody knows who Natalie Harp is. And he goes out there and drags her name through the mud and heavily implies that the only reason she works there is because she's a concubine for some politician. And that's what he thinks Democrats need to hear in order to make you president. That's how sick their party is.
Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous. I mean, that one clearly stepped over the line. I don't know how much of the rest of the media is criticizing what he did there. But let's kind of go to
nobody,
Florida.
Nobody.
That figures rhetorical,
Mark,
right?
I sat on CNN last night, and I've watched all the coverage. I'm apparently the only person who's willing to defend her honor, and it is disgusting and sickening. She does not deserve this. And if I walked out there with a list of all of John Ossoff's female employees and read their names and said, whoa, I see them hanging around. Wonder how they got hired. Wink, wink. Do you know they would go crazy?
Oh, yeah.
But I'm not going to do that. But that's what he's doing to her. And, you know, if you're a woman of any political ideology out there, understand this is what John Ossoff thinks of you. You only work in politics for one reason. That's what he thinks you're good for. That's the party of women, Mark. That's what they're up to today.
Did you have people on the panel that were defending that in some way, shape, or form?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes,
okay.
I did.
I
missed
that.
I did. Oh, yes. I've seen it two days in a row now. We've seen people defending this. It's insane.
Yeah, that's crazy. All right. Well, keep up the good fight on that one. I didn't realize that one had kind of unwound the way that it had. All right. What's your takeaways from Florida? Byron Donalds, obviously, I think he was expected to be the GOP nominee. Ron DeSantis is not able to run again. But you have a DSA socialist candidate, Angie Nixon, that won for the Senate nomination, right?
Yes. I can't imagine a state worse for socialists than Florida. I mean, Florida is full of people from Cuba and Venezuela and other countries. And, you know, they all came here to flee socialism and communism. And so now the Democrats are telling them, well, hey, maybe we ought to try socialism here. I think Floridians are well aware and well acquainted with how bad socialism is. There's a bunch of people that live there who tried to get away from it. I think Ashley Moody is going to be fine. I think Byron Donalds is going to be the next governor. I think, once again, Florida is kind of a model for Republicans. It's been well governed. And it's going to be a bright line debate between people who love America and people who love socialism. I'm glad we're going to have it.
Do you have any newer thoughts on Texas right now? I see some people moving Texas into the leans Republican instead of likely Republican. I have a hard time believing Tallarico is going to put enough dent into Ken Paxton to win that race. But are you sensing anything differently at this point or not?
I think it's a close race. I think Paxton will win. I would also caution people that summer polling in Senate races almost always, that's going to be in every state. I saw Patrick Flan Insights did a little analysis on this today. And you get a lot of overestimation on Democrats in summer Senate polling. That having been said, not going to lie, Paxton's got some baggage. It's going to have to be fought out, and it's going to be expensive. But I ultimately think Texas will stick for the Republicans.
I would hope so. And then you go to El Sayed in Michigan, and you would also hope that Mike Rogers should not have a hard time, you know, convincing people that the guy who hates football. I'd like some ads running on a Saturday here in a couple of weeks when Michigan State and Michigan are playing for Mike Rogers. I think those might be pretty effective.
I think so, too. I think El Sayed has taken every woke, weird, crazy position you can take, and you combine that with his affinity for defending terrorism. And I mean, remember back in the spring when the Ayatollah died in Iran, you know, they had a conference call on his campaign, and he said, well, I don't really want to comment on this. I don't want to offend any of my supporters. I mean, that literally happened. They had to make a campaign decision not to comment on the Ayatollah because it would offend their supporters. That's what you're up against in Michigan, literal terrorist butcher sympathizers. And by the way, they've made it unsafe even for the Democrat Attorney General of Michigan. She's Jewish. She can't even go to the Democrat Party convention because she says she fears for her safety. Well, who's at the convention? It's El Sayed supporters. They're violent, they're socialist, they're terrorist sympathizers, they're anti-American radicals, and if we don't elect Mike Rogers up there, we got a problem.
I would say so, and I don't think I spoke to you since last week with Francesca Hong in Wisconsin. Gosh, I was rooting for her so much because that would have been quite the double whammy in those states for Republicans to take advantage of. But look, the bottom line here is the economy, and if you look at some of the polling, which was certainly off in that race and others, people are still worried about affordability. And I think that the Republicans need to make sure that they're pivoting to a message that's just not anti-DSA, that's positive, hey, we're helping you here in America.
There's a lot of high-level Republicans who agree with you. It's not enough just to call them socialists. You have to say, yes, they're socialists. Here's what we've done, and here's what the difference in our policies would be. You have to have a real conversation because people are having real difficulty. Affordability is an issue. I went over to a barbecue place in Louisville the other day, and it was like a sandwich and a drink was like $15. I mean, people have real issues and concerns about affordability. It must be acknowledged, but you also have to say, here's what we've done. We've cut your taxes. We brought down the rate of inflation. They want to raise your taxes. They want to get government more involved. I mean, there's a debate to be had here. And oh, by the way, we're not the ones who drove up inflation in the first place. It happened under Biden. We're the ones trying to control it. They're the ones trying to raise your taxes and make it worse. I think the debate can be had, but you can't be lazy. You have to have it. You can't just say socialism bad. I mean, it
is,
but there's more to it.
Yeah, we're on the same page on that. Have you guys, and apologize for me not knowing this, but have you gotten into the WNBA stuff with Sophie Cunningham and the ridiculous?
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God, dude. Like you have an owner of a team that goes up and makes a girl cry. And then you have someone after hard fall on Sophie who says white supremacy, right? Now, white privilege. I'm sorry, white privilege. That comment there should get attention in the media, just claiming white privilege. But no one wants to even touch that. I mean, the sports media, they're way left than they ever should be. And I don't understand that. I never really have.
I did a story on the show today, which will be on the air tonight, about the WNBA fans that wore the XX, XY shirts and the security guard made them cover up. Why is everybody in the WNBA, from the owners down to the security guards, dedicated to the proposition of having men play in the WNBA?
It's unreal.
It's a women's basketball league. I don't understand, but it's like they've all been told, we have to get men in here. I mean, that would be one way to solve their profitability issues, I guess. But the league is for women, and they're all dedicated to getting men in there. I don't get it.
It's unbelievable. It really is. But good for Sophie Cunningham, because she's been heroic. Were you guys at the game last night? I knew you were there in Cincinnati a couple of nights ago. Did you and Joe go last night?
No, didn't make it. I followed it, though. I was doing CNN election coverage last night.
Yeah.
Glad to see Leahy, man. What a workhorse. Really a great pitcher. And to beat the Reds in Cincinnati is great. I saw the wrong half of the doubleheader the other night. Joe saw both games. I saw the bad half, but I got to take a couple of the boys. And I have to give a shout-out to the left fielder for the Reds, J.J. Blade, who in the ninth inning, after asking for nine innings, he tossed a ball up into the stands to my little boy, Harlan,
awesome,
who had his glove. And he was like, for nine innings, trying to get a ball, and finally Blade. So, and we had been watching him play at AAA in Louisville, so he knew
cool.
J.J. Blade. Anyway, great memory, and it was a great time, and always fun to see the Redbirds.
Yeah, that second game was a tough loss just because, you know, it slipped away. But then again, as they say, it's tough to win a doubleheader. All right, Jennings, thank you so much. I was out on the golf course here at Belle Reve Country Club. Our friend Eric Schmidt got to play with Scotty Scheffler this morning. How about that?
Can Schmidt golf? Is he good?
He's good. No, he is good. He's played with Bryson. Yes, he's excellent. He really is a good golfer. I think that's one of the reasons they paired him with Scotty, because they knew that he wouldn't, you know, be embarrassing. But he's an excellent golfer. Don't tell him I said that, though. Tell him I said something different,
man,
okay?
Schmidt's a great baseball player and a great golfer and a great senator. The guy's got it all. I love it.
And, you know, his humble beginnings started right here on the Mark Reardon Show as the official state senator, just so you know. I launched careers, Jennings. You know that.
The show that launched 1,000 careers, the Mark Reardon Show. I love it.
Have a great week. We'll talk soon. See ya.
See ya, Mark.
Get more at 971talk.com.